the stone that was before that tomb was not removed to let Christ out. It was so the world could see him and know that he was no longer there. If God had not removed that, they would still be saying Christ is in there. But God removed it so they could see his word was true. He was no longer there. Then Christ come and appeared to no telling how many, but above 500 at one time. And the thing I liked most about it all was where he spoke to old Thomas. When Thomas made the comment, I won't believe until I can put my fingers in the nail prints in his hands and put my hand into his side. I won't believe till then. But when Christ appeared then, the first thing he said to Thomas, Thomas, behold my hands. Thomas, here's my side. Thomas didn't have to touch him, but he believed when he saw. Me and you, God said that if we believe, we're blessed. Just as those that saw him afterwards. Because our time to see him is yet to come. And, you know, no matter if Christ had still walked amongst them, if that stone had not been removed, that is that it had been somebody portraying Christ. And they even paid the guards to lie. And what they told the guards to say, if it had been true, they would have paid with their life. You and I today, God made the way for us to have a salvation that was obtainable by no other means than Christ not only coming and dying, but raising from the dead. If he had died on Calvary and hadn't been able to raise, it would have all been in vain. But he come forth proven he was the Son of God. If you'd like to read with us in the 3rd chapter of Acts, and in the 4th chapter, we're going to read some scripture. But in the 3rd chapter of Acts, and I've got something the matter with one eye. I've got something in it and I can't half see. So if I can read it, I will. If not, you all can read it. But in the 3rd chapter of Acts, the 12th verse, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Then if you'll go down into the 4th chapter, and start with the 10th verse. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom Christ raised from the dead, even whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, here this was all being done because that they had, through the name of Jesus Christ, healed the man that had sat lame for years at the beautiful gate. And because that they didn't have silver and gold to give him, But that they had, they give unto him. And they said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they begin to marvel at such a miracle that was done, because everybody had seen this same man sitting there lame for years. And yet, in a moment's time, through the name of Jesus Christ, he was made whole. And here the disciples, when they begin to speak unto him, they didn't just start out telling him, well, it's all because of Christ. But he laid it right in their lap. That one that you rejected, that one you denied, the one you desired to murder, over that innocent man, it's him that has made this man whole. You're the one that's guilty of crucifying. But he's not dead. He's able to make alive. He's able to heal. He's able to strengthen those legs that can't walk. All because Jesus God and did the will of the Father and proved everybody that he was the Son of God. And they told it to him. And here, in just a short time, they was delivering the same message again, wasn't they? And who was they preaching it to? The leaders of the church. To the high priest. Those that would have been the leaders. Accepting Christ. And being willing to follow him. But the reason they didn't want to do that. Because Christ was doing the way. With the very job that they had. With all the rules. And the regulations that they were insisting. That people. Christ of God had another way with it. And he said, I am the way. Come unto me. You no longer need to go and confess to that friend. Get on your knees before me. And I'll forgive you. And a new life. And you know, that is still the same today. We'll find our politicians in Washington. They have a form in a fashion of worship, but they don't know the God in whom they're supposed to be worshiping, and they have nothing to do with the Spirit. They're not acquainted with it. If the Spirit of God was to move amongst the halls of Congress and Senate, a real spiritual movement, it would scare half of them to death, and the others would probably run. And wouldn't ever want to go back in the place. Because that's the strangest feeling I ever felt. There was something weird going on there. But you and I, if we drank of that fountain and we've had our sins forgiven, there's nothing greater than to feel the Spirit of God moving upon you. It's something that you get addicted to. We find all kinds of people here in the world. They're addicted to cocaine and all kinds of drugs. Addicted to alcohol. When a Christian person, they become addicted to the faith of God. They want more of that Spirit. And the minute they leave a spiritual servant, they're looking for another one to get into. There's nothing that makes me feel as good as that does. There's nothing that changes me above and being in communion with the Lord. And you know, I thank God he has a change from this day here when Peter and them, they didn't have what most people had been given this beggar that was sitting there. Only way he had of making a living was touching people's heart because of his condition. And they were giving some money. And they didn't have that. But they said, such as we have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He had never got anything that had meant so much to him. I don't know what his best day had ever been there in money that he had received. But he had traded every one of them days. If he could have found somebody that could have, he could have given that money to and been able to get what he got from them free. You and I today, isn't it wonderful to know God does not ask us to come and buy salvation, but it's a free gift. It takes that is sick and dying and makes us alive. Changes us into that new creature. And here, in that 11th verse, he said, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." You didn't want anything to do with Christ. You denied him. As you was there before Pilate, you said, "Rather than have this man that Pilate said, I find no fault in, rather than accepting him, you said, give us that murderer. Crucify this one. Give us that murderer who was in prison waiting to die a just sentence for the life he lived." That was me and you. That should have been us, because we deserved it, but Christ come and took our place. There was going to be three guilty men crucified that day. Instead, there was two guilty and one innocent. And even there on the cross, he still proved that he was God. When he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they've done." You and I today, no matter what we've done when we was in sin, Christ can pray that same prayer for us today if we will only surrender unto him. You know, though I was raised in a Christian home, I did not think I was as bad as I was until the Lord one Sunday morning shined the light into my life and I seen just how bad I was. You and I, we can lie to ourselves, but so long, and sooner or later, the truth is going to come out. And it may be on our deathbed when it's too late to pray. Or it may be when we just bow ourselves before God and say, "Lord, I need a Savior." And then we can find out here, don't reject Christ as the people in this day, even the leaders of church, in that day and time. And really, you take the organized church of America, a big majority of them, they talk about Christ, but they reject anything to do with the true Spirit of God. They don't want anybody showing emotion. You know, in most of the churches you go into, if their preacher got excited or started shedding tears, they would think that he's just lost it. He's too emotional. He's having a nervous breakdown. We need to get us somebody else. And yet, you'll find Christ, when he looked at Jerusalem and seen Jerusalem for what it was, he wept. You and I today, when God looks at America in the shape we're in today, I'm sure it breaks his heart today. Because look at all the gospel messages that went out across this nation by the means of radio, television, and even from pulpits. To where man has got to the place where they reject it. You know, now granted, if you're something that is making a big show and a pretense, you'll find that the world will like you. Or a lot of, you'll get a large following anyhow. But if you preach the Bible just the way that it is, you'll find that not many people wants to follow it. For the simple reason, it hurts too much to change my daily life. You know, you'll hear people on the radio, Christian radio I'm talking about, talk about adultery. And they're meaning somebody that's cheating on their wife. Because a lot of them are sitting there with their second or third wife or husband. And they don't look at themselves as being in adultery because I'm married. But according to what Paul wrote, anybody that's married to the second wife if the first one didn't die, you're in adultery. And that's just scripture. Because we're bound as long as they live. But once they die, we're free to marry only in the Lord. That means marrying somebody whose spouse is dead or somebody that's never been married. And that's Bible. You and I today, we look at the world. I forget. I heard it just a few days ago. I think it's something like 3 marriages now out of every 5 ends in divorce. 3 out of 5. All those children, it's affected by that. And yet God had a much better plan. Oh, the plan of salvation, there has never been one that's found better. But man is still striving. Just like they was in this day and time. Trying to find another way. They rejected the one that God had laid down. Today, men is still rejecting it. Why? It just requires too much of me. And yet God said, come, it's free. Please, I beg you, we get some song to sing. I beg you. What we read to you here today, see just how much that God can mean here, the disciples, he meant everything to them. This man that was crippled, it meant everything to him. When he heard that name, when it was offered unto him as a way to walk, you'll find the one that was in the tombs. What happened to him? When Christ healed him, he wanted to follow Christ. Christ told him to go home and tell them what had been done to him. Just what had made the difference. They couldn't even keep that man chained. And the next time you hear anything about him, he was clothed and in his right mind telling the people about God. You and I today, when God comes into our lives, we're going to be changed. And if we haven't been changed from the outside completely, then it's a good sign we didn't meet the Lord. But when we come to know God, our way of talk, the things that we do, everything is going to change. We're no longer going to be the same. While we sing, will you come? While we sing just one verse, will you come?